Here in session 11, we're going to look at a few chapters in 1 Corinthians that speak specifically about manifestations of Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, we saw a few examples of people who, when they were born again, immediately spoke in tongues. And the one example in Acts 8, where when they didn't speak in tongues, Peter and John had to go down there to find out why not. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter, well, let's look in chapter 1. Let's remind ourselves what we read yesterday of who this book of 1 Corinthians is written to. Here in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, this is written unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, both Judean and Gentile. So, it's written to us as Christian believers. Now let's go to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts. And you'll notice the word gift is what? It's in italics. So it was added by the translators. The translators assume that everything in this chapter is about gifts. And although the gifts are mentioned, the emphasis is not on that, but on manifesting. So this should better be translated spiritual things or spiritual matters. Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, I want you to understand. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, idols that don't talk, just statues of wood or stone. You were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. Some people thought that when you speak in tongues, you don't know the language you're speaking, so you must be cursing God. And it says, no man, speaking by the Spirit of God. Well, what is speaking by the Spirit of God? It's speaking in tongues. When I speak, there's two ways I can speak. I can think and make up thoughts and say what I'm thinking, or I can speak in tongues wherein God gives me the words. God, who is Spirit, gives His Spirit to the gift of Holy Spirit in me, and then that Spirit teaches my mind and I can speak. And it says, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say, or no man can really say, that Jesus is Lord, but by Holy Spirit. The only way to really know that you've made Jesus Lord and you're born again is to speak in tongues. If you've got a battery in your car and it's charged, how do you really know it? You turn one of the switches. You turn on the lights. You start the engine. You turn on the radio. You honk the horn. You turn on the wipers. That's the only way you really know the battery works. Just looking at the car, you don't know if there's a battery in there, and you don't know if the battery's got a charge to it. Well, the only way you can really say that Jesus is Lord is by speaking in tongues. Let's skip ahead to verse 7. It talks here in verses 4, well, we'll read these verses, but we won't emphasize them. We do that in a later class. There are diversities of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. Differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, the ability to operate and evidence the Spirit, the gift, is given to who? Every man. Some people have thought that only certain extremely spiritual people could operate or manifest Holy Spirit. It wasn't for everybody. But what's it say? The manifestation, the ability to operate the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, which could be better translated for profit. The manifestation is given to every man for profit, to benefit you, to be of help to you in your life. And then it goes on to talk about the different manifestations. Verse 8, for to one, and people have always said this refers to one person. is given the Spirit by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another person the word of knowledge. But again, with a pronoun, you got to look to what it's referring to. And verse 7 should be translated, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for profit. And then that 2:1 could be better translated, 4:1. 4:1. One what? For one profit. Look in a car. What energizes all the electrical systems in your car? The one battery. Then all the different electrical items in your car have different purposes. Does honking the horn help start the car? Does turning the lights on do you much good if you're in blinding sunlight? No. Does turning the engine on help you if you're in your garage and you want to get go in the house? No. Different things in the car are good for different reasons. If you want to listen to music, turning the radios on is a good idea. If you want to see because it's dark, turning the lights on is a good idea. If you're ready to drive somewhere, starting the engine is a good idea. There's different profit to every different appliance. But the battery powers them all. Holy Spirit powers 9 different manifestations, and each one has a profit, a different benefit. Look what it says here. 4:1, verse 8, or 4:1, referring back to profit, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. For another profit, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. For another profit, faith or believing by the same Spirit. For another profit, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. For another profit, the working of miracles. For another profit, prophecy. For another prophet, discerning of spirits. For another, divers kinds of tongues or languages. For another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, let's look at it here that in your notes that by their very nature, these 9 manifestations or evidences of Holy Spirit fall into 3 groups. First of all, we have our utterance manifestations. The first one is speaking in tongues. We've read about that. The next is interpretation of tongues. This isn't where I understand what I'm saying in a tongue and then translate it for you. Like I would say something, for instance, in French and then translate it into English for you, or maybe you would do it in a foreign language you have studied. No. It's simply as God gives the words in a different language when I speak in tongues, God gives the words in the language of this group, English, the interpretation. Prophecy is the same thing, where it's a message directly to that group in the language they understand. Only difference is you don't speak in tongues first. Revelation manifestations. Here's where God gives a word of knowledge, not all the knowledge in the world, but a little bit of information about a specific situation. And then a word of wisdom is the wisdom to know what to do with that knowledge he's given. Discerning of spirits is where God will show you if there is spirit involved in a situation. Does the person have Holy Spirit? Does the person have unholy spirit? Does the person have no spirit at all? That is discerning of spirits. God can reveal that. In the impartation manifestations, we have faith, which is where extra believing is needed to operate the next 2 manifestations, workings of miracles and gifts of healings. These are the various 9 manifestations, and they are all powered by that one Spirit. Let's look here in verse 11. All of these worketh. The word worketh could be translated are energized. All of these are energized by the one and the self same Spirit. Well, actually, let me read it in King James. I'm sorry. Verse 11 in King James, all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally or his own as the man wills. Easier translation, you'll see in your notes here, the one and the self-same Spirit energizes all these. Just like in your car, that same battery energizes all the electrical functions in the car. Well, the one and the self-same Spirit, the one gift, energizes all these. Some people think you need one gift from God for tongues, another gift of God for prophecy, another gift of God for interpretation of tongues. No. That'd be like going out and buying a new battery for your car every time you wanted to turn the radio on. The one battery takes care of everything, and the one gift of Holy Spirit is so great, it energizes all 9 manifestations. And that word severally there is the word idios, which means his own. The one and the selfsame Spirit energizes all these, dividing to every man his own as he, the man, wills. What if I never will, I never decide, I never determine to speak in tongues? Am I going to speak in tongues? What if I make up my mind, I'm not just going to speak in tongues, I'm also going to interpret? Will I interpret? Sure. Same with all nine manifestations. The one and the selfsame Spirit energizes all these, dividing to every man his own as he, the man, the person, wills. Isn't that great? Look at Acts chapter 3, one example here, where Peter is confronted with a man who is lame from his birth. And here in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, then Peter said, there was this man who was asking for offerings. He was lame, so his family took him to the temple, and he'd lie there and ask for alms, ask for offerings. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What he had was the Spirit of God, and he could manifest it to help this man. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Such as I have, give I thee. He had it, he chose to operate it. So that's the way all the manifestations work. We have them, we choose to operate them. And in this class, we'll learn a lot about speaking in tongues. In other classes, we learn about the other eight manifestations. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 now. We'll learn some more about how speaking in tongues should be used in the church, in the fellowship of believers. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after charity, the love of God. When you see charity in the King James Bible, it's usually from the Greek word agape, which means the love of God. Follow after the love of God. And you know, because we have Holy Spirit, we can love like God loves. We can operate this agape love. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So it's better to prophesy than to speak in tongues? Actually, the context here is in the church, in the fellowship of believers. Because in the fellowship of believers, I'm better off bringing forth the word of prophecy that everybody can understand. Because speaking in tongues is for our private prayer life, unless we interpret it. Because if I stand up here and speak in tongues, I go, son korolon kororan tarata, lon korolon koronon koraka, what if I did that for an hour? You wouldn't understand much. But if I brought forth the word of prophecy and said, yea, verily, the Lord your God loves you and will always stand by you and never leave you, now you can benefit from that, because that's in a language you understand. So in the church, in the fellowship of believers, it's great to speak in tongues, but it's even better to have a word of prophecy. So follow after charity and desire spiritual matters, but rather that you may prophesy. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, and it is in italics, but it makes sense here, because every time you speak in tongues, you won't understand the language you're speaking. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? God. For no man understandeth. Now here the word him should be taken out. Because if you speak in tongues, somebody might understand you, but you, the speaker, won't understand. He that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth. Howbeit, nevertheless, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So, if I speak in tongues, I'm speaking to God. It's in my private prayer life. But if I prophesy, I'm speaking unto people to edify them, that's to build them up, to exhortation, that's to encourage them and to comfort. So when you hear a word of prophecy in a believer's meeting, in a fellowship like this, the words you hear will build you up, encourage you, and comfort you. How many times have you been to a fellowship and heard words that didn't build you up, encourage you, and comfort you in a word of prophecy? If they didn't, then it wasn't a legitimate word of prophecy. Because every time you hear a word of prophecy in a fellowship, it'll build you up, encourage you, and comfort you. That's why we love to get together with believers and have manifestations. We love to be encouraged, built up, comforted. That's what God wants for us. Look at verse 4. He that speaketh in a tongue edifies himself. When you speak in tongues, you build yourself up spiritually. We know how we can do that for sports. We can go do calisthenics, jumping jacks, push-ups, stretches, wind sprints, all the different things you do. We know for music, you can strengthen yourself by doing scales. For other things, you can strengthen yourself. How do you strengthen yourself spiritually? Speak in tongues. It's like doing spiritual push-ups. You want to go to spiritual boot camp? Speak in tongues. That's how you get tough. So he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Verse 5, I desire that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. Again, the context is in the believers' meeting. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he what? Interpret that the church may receive edifying. In the church, it's better to have a word of prophecy than to speak in tongues, unless you're going to then believe to interpret. Because if you just speak in tongues, it doesn't benefit people. Now, brethren, verse 6, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life, giving pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them was without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, spiritual matters, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray. Pray with believing that he may interpret. Just make up your mind, you are going to do it. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, speak in tongues, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, otherwise, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? If I call on Stephen over here to pray and he stands up and speaks in tongues, it's a little hard for somebody that walks in off the street to say amen because he has no idea what Stephen's talking about. Verse 17, for thou, speaking in tongues, verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. He's just letting him know he speaks in tongues a lot, and speaking in tongues is a good thing. But in the fellowship of believers, it should be interpreted. Yet in the church, verse 19, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye what? Men. In the law it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, indicating significance, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Somebody walks in off the street, comes to fellowship, hears people speak in tongues and interpret. It gets their attention. Just like in the day of Pentecost, they said, what's going on? All these Galileans are speaking our languages. It got their attention. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and they come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say they're mad? Imagine that. Somebody says, hey, I've got this Christian fellowship in my house. Why don't you come over? And you walk in the door, and everybody's all speaking different languages really loud. You'd go, what's with these people? That's pretty goofy. It's goofy enough when they hear you speak in tongues and interpret, but at least it's one person and the interpretation is in English. But if everybody's speaking in tongues at once, they'll say these people are nuts. Verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he's convinced of all, he's judged of all. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Everybody wanted to talk at once. That's the reason that this is in here. In the Corinthian church, they'd gotten all out of order. Imagine if I'm trying to hear teach, and somebody over here wants to have a word of prophecy, and somebody over there wants to speak in tongues and interpret, and somebody back there says, oh, God just revealed this to me, I want to tell you what happened. And somebody over here, they all want to sing in tongues over here, and you all want to play the banjo here. It's just nuts. How can anybody learn anything with all that craziness going on? Which is why it says at the end of the verse, let all things be done unto edifying. That's why in our fellowships, we have one person speak in tongues and interpret. Then when that person's done, we ask somebody else to have a word of prophecy. Then we sit down and we read the scriptures together. Then afterwards, we go over and discuss things. Then we play charades. But we try to do one thing at a time and have it decent and in order so everybody's built up and everybody isn't just all confused thinking we're nuts. They probably think we're crazy enough anyway without giving them more reasons to. Verse 27, if any man speak in a tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, by course, and let one, or that same one, the one who speaks in tongues, interpret. But if there be no interpreter, meaning no one who believes to interpret, there be nobody who believes to interpret, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. If you come to a fellowship and you just don't have the believing, or you haven't been instructed to interpret, that's fine. But what you do is you just speak in tongues to yourself and to God. The only time you speak in tongues in a believer's meeting, unless it's a time when we're just practicing speaking in tongues together, is when you have the believing to interpret. Otherwise, it's for your private prayer life. Verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Remember we talked about how God never possesses? You have the gift of Holy Spirit. Whether you're a prophet or not, it's under your control. Don't say, oh, the Spirit made me jump up and scream. No. God may tell you something, but if you jump up and scream, that's your decision. Sometimes it's good to jump up and scream. Usually not in a believer's meeting, though. It's usually out of order and just adds confusion. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is not into confusion, He's into peace. Now, this verse has caused all kinds of troubles. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Some people have said this means that women can't teach, they can't lead. Well, we've had several women do a lot of things to lead this weekend. And everything we do, there are many women that have an active part in teaching, ministering, even leading charades. Can you believe it? Very important. But what's it talking about? First of all, it's talking about the Corinthian church where everything had gotten out of order and everybody wanted to speak in tongues and do everything at once. And it says, your women, and it's talking about the prophets in verse 32. Let your women, the women of the prophets, keep silence in the churches. The wives of the prophets had gotten into making noise and adding to the confusion. Look what it says, verse 34. Let your women, the wives of the prophets, keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women. Which women? The women of the prophets that were out of order to speak in the church. See, it can't be speaking about all women, because what if a woman didn't have a husband at home? How could she ask him? It's specifically in this context where the women of the prophets in the church at Corinth were adding to the confusion. God said, let them be quiet and behave themselves just like everybody else in the church is supposed to behave themselves. There are plenty of cases in the Word where the women were the prophets, and the women were the judges of Israel, and the women were the teachers of God's Word. But in the Corinthian church, the wives of the prophets were adding to the confusion, and they were told to behave like all the other people in the church were told to behave. Verse 36, what came the Word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Look at verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are what? The commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You'll find some people that no matter how many verses of Scripture you read to them, no matter how much you try to show them how the difficult verse is explained by the clear and simple verse, no matter how much you pull out occasional Greek word or figure of speech and try to help them look at the context and see what the Scriptures really say, they'll say, I don't care. That's not what we do in my church. I don't believe it. It's their choice. All we can do is study God's Word, love people, share it with them, and then people will believe what they want to believe. And that's just what it says here. If any man be ignorant, if they still want to have everybody speak in tongues at once in their fellowship and confuse everybody, let them go ahead. Wherefore, brethren, covet, desire deeply to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Then look at verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. And that's what chapter 14 is really about. In a fellowship of believers, things should be done decently and in order. Now, I know fellowships where they all want to speak in tongues at once. And they feel that if somebody's up teaching God's Word and all of a sudden Hannah gets inspired, she can stand up and start singing in tongues at the top of her lungs. And that's great. I know people that go to churches and fellowships like that. And I read them verses like this because we want to discuss it. And they just don't want to believe it. They say, but I like jumping up and singing in tongues in the middle of the teaching. It's fun. Well, God bless you. It's great to speak, sing in tongues if you want. We just usually don't do it during the middle of the teaching. You know, if you all want to go back in a room and after the fellowship and all sing in tongues for an hour, have fun. It's a great thing. It just would be a little confusing, and we never get done by lunchtime if we stop to do that now. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, what is speaking in tongues? There's a definition of it here for you at the bottom of the page. The manifestation of speaking in tongues is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, at any time in your private prayer life or in a believer's meeting, if interpreted, show forth by speaking in a language unknown to you the external manifestation in the senses world of the internal presence of the gift of Holy Spirit. That's what it is. You operate the God-given ability, the gift, and you can do this any time in your private prayer life, or you can do it in a believer's meeting if it's interpreted. You can show forth by speaking in a language unknown to you the external manifestation in the senses world of the internal presence of the gift of Holy Spirit. That's simply what speaking in tongues is.